Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. It's Thursday. January is 16 days old, and we are now just 3 days away from Championship Sunday in the NFL. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. The Redskins coaching staff has been finalized. And coordinators Scott Turner on offense, Jack Del Rio on defense, both spoke with the media yesterday. Give you some of our takeaways from those discussions coming up at 10:30. How are you feeling this morning?
We're doing all right, my friend. Big night last night. Birthday party. Me, solo parent, just trying to play some zone defense with my kids at one of our favorite spots, our Curry in Glover Park. It's a lot of fun, but it's exhausting. So I got home, and I was so excited to watch that Aaron Hernandez documentary. You know, the wife got home from her long day. She had to go to New York for the day. She was back. Kids were in bed. I was like, I cannot wait to watch this. I've heard so much about it. I'm so excited. I fell asleep about 30 minutes into it, and I had to retire. But, yeah, just being a solo parent for even – couple hours is extra hard for your boy.
I watched the entire three episodes.
You did it all last night?
Last night.
Wow.
Came out on Netflix yesterday. It's an Aaron Hernandez docuseries on, I guess you'd say his life, but really more than anything else, his career and then the murder or
it's basically the spiral, yeah.
Murders potentially that he mm-hmm. committed, which is stunning and sad and tragic. But yeah, the spiral that was his life, the end of the road for him and all the people now left to pick up the pieces shattered behind it. We can get into that during the double play or later on in the show for sure. You said yesterday to me, I think this was even during a break, maybe not on the air. You said you were going to eat a lot of pizza.
That's right.
You said, I'm going to, I think it was R. Curry.
R. Curry, yeah.
You said, I'm going to a spot in D.C. that I really like. I'm going to eat pizza. I said, no, nah, you'll be fine. Just either don't eat any or have a piece or two, which we can't do. I know that. But I assumed that your wife was going to be there to basically scold you with every piece of pizza.
Ah.
It all makes sense now.
You see what I'm saying?
When you said, I already know I'm going to be terrible, I'm going to pummel all the pizza, you already knew your wife wasn't going to basically slap your hand away every time you reach for pizza.
So there was no window where I could have really eaten beforehand. I had like a handful of cashews. I did it after the show, Tommy, so I wasn't going to injure you or send you to the hospital. So I had a handful of cashews. Immediately I got to go pick up the older kid that's in school and take him right over to the thing because it starts at 5. I had no window. I had no window. No time to do anything. So I'm there and I'm hungry. Pizza's being passed underneath me. I'm not going to eat it. So I ate 6 pieces incredibly fast while dealing with my smallest child who wouldn't comply with any instruction.
Are these tiny pieces like Lido squares?
Nope. Full-size pieces of delicious pizza from our Curry. And my stomach hurt. I ate so fast and so much so quickly that my stomach hurt.
Any sides or just the pizza?
Just the pizza. And cupcakes. But the point is I had
how many cupcakes?
They're the little tiny ones. So it's
Shooters.
Not that big a deal that I had 3. But it was mostly the pizza that affected me. And it was it's not called Meat Lovers, but that's what I think of. Like it's a Pizza Hut brand.
Estimated
thing.
Calorie count last night?
Oh, I never know what the calories are. It's probably a couple thousand though, right? You think?
I don't know. I mean, pizza, it's bad for you because it's carby.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get the sense that one piece of pizza has a million carbs. Now, when you add up 6 of them,
when you do 6 in about 20 minutes,
that count pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I got after it.
Good for you.
Thanks.
I went to Founding Farmers in Tyson's last night. I love that restaurant.
I really like that place there.
Gosh, that whole they've got a chain of, I want to say at least 3 locally. I don't know how many. It's just great. But they have Restaurant Week going on. It's weird. Alexandria Restaurant Week is different than like Tyson / the DMV. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is now DC Restaurant Week because I've been trying so hard.
I never know when they are.
I got a vacation coming up next week, so I'm desperately trying to like just not eat terribly knowing I'm going to on my vacation.
So, how's that going so far? It's pretty good.
Last 3 days have been great.
Oh, okay.
But I went to the restaurant last night for Restaurant Week. And I did pretty well. Like, I did deviled eggs as an appetizer instead of something that was less healthy. But overall, I mean, steak, potato, it's just so good. Gosh, it's so good. But go to that restaurant is what I would tell you, Dan.
Yeah, the one at Tyson's is awesome. Mm-hmm. The one on the Georgetown waterfront, so because I get them all confused. They're all buddies.
Yeah, they're
sister
like
restaurants.
Fishers, Bakers, Founding
Markets,
Bakers,
Fishing,
Farmers.
And
too many names.
There's Fisheries and Farmers and Alcohol and some of them. The Georgetown waterfront one is always just so crazy, slam packed that I don't enjoy that experience as much. The one at Tyson's we ate at, I think, for my dad's birthday a couple years ago.
Yeah,
what a delightful experience that was.
It's a good spot.
Really good.
So Sunday's championship games are set. We are ready for football. You got the AFC title game being determined. The Titans or the Chiefs in Kansas City are on to the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, the Packers are going out west to visit San Francisco and the 49ers. Here's where we wanted to start the show today. What Super Bowl matchup do you want to see? We're down to four teams. We can now pretty easily work the permutations of what the matchups would look like. The question for you is, as you gear up now, a couple of weeks out from a Super Bowl party, you can envision where you'll be sitting and what you'll be eating and what drink you'll have in your hand. What two teams do you want to be playing? What is your Super Bowl matchup of choice? That is the question at 800-636-1067. Now, quickly just running through the teams, the Chiefs are by far the most exciting team remaining.
Uh-huh.
They have the most exhilarating player in Pat Mahomes, unequivocally the best quarterback still standing, and perhaps the best player in all of football, specifically with Lamar Jackson now eliminated. He was your MVP, not this year, but last. They sling the ball around. They got speed. They got weapons. They are unique offensively, a la the Rams of last year. They will do things with jet sweeps that are somewhat transcendent and very 2020 in their offense. The Titans are a lot more old school. This is kind of slow the game down. They're going to run it more than they throw it substantially. They will play great defense, and they got a running back like the best player on a high school field who's coming downhill between the tackles, and you got to stop him, and no one's been able to. Pretty much since week 10, by the way. The only time
he did this last year,
Derrick
too, if you
Henry
remember, down the stretch.
You're right. Yeah. The only time he didn't go crazy since week 10, he didn't play because they rested him in week 16.
Mm-hmm.
Came back for the couple hundred yards in week 17.
I enjoy this Tennessee team and what they're doing because they did a thing that I want. They traded back with the Rams so that the Rams could take Jared Goff. Got a bunch of players that are unheralded but are killing it right now on their defense and offensively. They got a tackle out of it. They're doing a lot of good things. It's a good team, good organization. I like Vrabel a lot. The only team that I can't have win the Super Bowl for what it would mean for you and me and what we do is the Tennessee Titans. Because they're doing something that's unique right now. They're running the ball as effectively as any team in the history of the game has ever run it. I mean, this is like 1930s, no forward pass, wishbone type stuff. They're running it at an amazing clip.
I think it'd be awesome to see them win the Super Bowl.
Generally, I would agree with you. However, what we do, the number of run the damn ball takes, the trophy that Chris Russell would make for himself and walk around, the screaming fan that can't update their file about what this league is and how to play would be miserable for me. The online takes, the reading, the writing. I think of that now as, because my team was eliminated in October. I think about what I root for now, and a lot of it has to do with what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I don't want to see, you see, we told you about running the ball, even though that ignores 20 years of data.
So I guess I certainly understand what you're saying. It surprises me that you would be that invested in that only because, like, the information and the facts are on your side.
Of course they are, but that won't matter.
Basically what you're saying is I hope there's never a cold day again because then people who say climate change doesn't exist will point to how cold it is outside. And my point is they're going to say what they're going to say anyway. Who cares? You have plenty of solace you could take in the fact that there's information that's correct and then there's information that's incorrect. You have the correct information. Analytics don't mean that it's foolproof, that 100% of the time this is how it works. The point is, on a percentage chance, if you do it this way, more often you'll be successful. So anybody who says you can't run the ball, and this is part of the problem sometimes I have with the analytics community, guys like Evan Silva and some dudes like that,
mm-hmm.
who can just push the envelope so far that they borderline on being a lot to deal with, is you get lost kind of in your narratives a little bit. The point is, here's the best practice. It's not the only practice,
mm-hmm.
You could win a Super Bowl as a run-first team like the Titans are doing. It's just a lot harder to do it. It might happen once every 6 or 7 years in the next several years. But that all being said, I love Derrick Henry, who I was wrong about, by the way.
So wrong about him.
I haven't seen a guy like this in the NFL in so long. I just think it would be funny to kind of turn the league on its head a little bit. I always root for a little bit of chaos. If Ryan Tannehill now has to be one of the quarterbacks we talk about as a Super Bowl champion. Because you talk about narratives. I mean, people pretend like if you win a Super Bowl, you're an elite quarterback.
You're crowned.
I mean, think about the Joe Flacco conversations when he got hot. Eli Manning won a couple Super Bowls and is going to be a Hall of Famer, even though he is very, very slightly above pedestrian. I think it would be completely compelling to see Ryan Tannehill play in a Super Bowl game in Miami. Am I rooting for the Titans? No, because I think it's a little bit more boring a style of football, and I want to do anything I can to watch the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I also think Andy Reid's deserve this. This is a lifetime achievement award for Andy Reid, who I probably, more than anybody else, would like to see hoist the Lombardi Trophy that's still standing. But that's the AFC side of things. On the NFC, you got the 49ers and the Packers. We can get into that next, and we'll answer this question. Who do we want to see play in the Super Bowl? What game are we hoping for? What would be the best matchup from a TV standpoint, just from your viewership, as you're sitting at your Super Bowl party? We'll take your calls on this next. 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us.
At Funny Danny and at Grant H. Paulson.
You're listening to The Fan.
I have done a few of these, and you know, we try to keep it as normal as we possibly can as far as the schedule goes for the players, so they can get their work done and stay within the routine of how they get themselves prepared. Likewise with the coaches, as best you can without having to travel up to do press conferences and that. So I try to stick to that, but I've done that majority of the time. I understand. I've been there. I understand how fast the game is. I mean, I can tell you that from experience, and the magnitude of it, obviously, is every time you take a step up in the playoffs, it's obviously still single elimination, but the magnitude's bigger, I guess you'd say.
Phone line's wide open, 800-636-1067. What Super Bowl matchup are you pulling for as you watch the AFC and NFC title games this weekend? That, of course, was Andy Reid. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. I want the Chiefs and the 49ers. And for me, there isn't really a second matchup that's all that close because I think these are the two best teams in each conference. And I'm not just saying that because Baltimore got eliminated. You know that I've really, really liked the Chiefs since about midseason. I love the way their defense came around.
Yeah.
I didn't buy Baltimore's ability in the playoffs to string together wins because I think you got to be able to throw the ball in a way that when they're down and when they're one-dimensional, they weren't going to be able to. And Kansas City can. And it kind of bared fruit last week with them coming back from 24-0. It's a passing league. They could do that. When they've had to run the ball to put games away, they've been able to do that as well, sometimes with their quarterback, Pat Mahomes. But I think that the Chiefs, in a year in which the Patriots, at about the halfway point, took a nosedive, emerged to me as the most likely team to come out of the AFC. And I think circuit to circuit, the 49ers were the best team in the NFC. Obviously, they didn't go undefeated. They had the hiccup against the Seahawks in an overtime game that they lost. But if you go back and you look at their season at 13-3, their point margin, the number of games they just utterly ran away with and dominated. And their closest games generally were bad weather games where they weren't able to set up play action and some of the things down the field that Kyle Shanahan likes. They're a chameleon. They run the ball on you. They can pass it. This is an treacherous defense and the best pass rush in these playoffs.
They're excellent.
Almost always, by the way, and it's something you and I do talk about, but we probably don't talk about enough. At the start of the playoffs, if you just look at who has the best pass rush, you can normally determine who's going to get to and maybe even win the Super Bowl. And the 49ers are going to harass Aaron Rodgers. And if they get past him next week, they'll harass Mahomes or Tannehill. It's what they did against Cousins. So I want to see the Chiefs and the 49ers because I think those are the two best teams left, and that would be the best game.
So I can't argue with much of that. The only thing that I've got that I would say runs counter to it is I want Aaron Rodgers to get another one. I want Aaron Rodgers to be free of the shackles of Mike McCarthy, who I firmly believe held him back and prevented the Packers from being great. He was good at stewarding the ship, making sure we didn't get in any, hitting the icebergs or crash, but he didn't steer them to the best path. I think they've squandered Aaron Rodgers' best 7-8 years, and I would love to have him get one more. And I don't know how likely it is because everything you mentioned was San Francisco. Even though Green Bay's pass protection is pretty damn good, and they've got Aaron Jones, and you know they've got Devontae Adams. I don't think it's enough. It's got to be an Aaron Rodgers hero game, I think. I would love for him to get to a Super Bowl and win another one. On the AFC side, I'm with you. I love a wonderful process. Kansas City has a wonderful process. I love it. I love Andy Reid now that he's not tormenting me in Philadelphia. I love Pat Mahomes. I love the way they go about it. I love how they throw on first down. I love how they take shots deep. I love how you have to cover the entire field, every play, all the time, and they make it impossible for you to do so. I love their speed. I like everything about it. That, to me, is what modern football is, and everyone should be copying it 100% every play, every down. Just run their same game script until you figure out how to do it for yourself if you're the Washington Redskins. But those are the I'd be happy whoever comes out of the NFC for process reasons, but I would love for Aaron Rodgers to somehow get another one.
So I love the Rodgers take. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks ever. In fact, if I had to rank the quarterbacks all time that I've watched, I'd put Peyton Manning 1, Aaron Rodgers 2, Tom Brady 3. Whereas most people start their list with Tom Brady. And that isn't meant to be disrespectful to Brady, but I think Rodgers, with his mobility and athleticism, a guy who twice led the league in quarterback rating and yards per attempt and in touchdown percentage multiple times and total touchdowns and yards in the air and all kinds of different categories over the course of his career. I want him to have a second title as well because I'll feel like his career was not a disappointment, but not what it should have been if he only wins one championship. He is deserving of more than that. He's a two-time All-Pro, a multi-time MVP, an eight-time Pro Bowler. I want him to win another title. And if he could do that this year, that would be great. When we name the guys who have won multiple Super Bowls, he deserves to be in that list.
Right.
So I get that. And if the Packers do win and they go on and you get Rodgers versus Mahomes, basically the one of the last of the Mount Rushmore of the last 15 years of quarterbacking.
Master and then the ascending.
At 36, kind of, yeah. And then the guy that's going to carry that mantle forward who's already got one MVP award, I think that could be a really neat matchup as well. The one team, so I say I'd be cool with the Packers, even though I want the 49ers. I want the Chiefs. The Titans would be fine. I got nothing against them. I just don't have any necessary person that I really, really root for. Again, other than the anarchy and the chaos of, haha, we've got to explain away Ryan Tannehill in the Super Bowl the year after the Dolphins said no thanks. It's kind of like rooting for the BCS to fall apart for me.
Yes, which I do every year.
It's more
of
an underdog thing. And watching that game, I'll be all in on the Chiefs. But if they win, I can appreciate the greatness of that story. Yeah. I give them no chance. I thought they were going to lose to New England, albeit in a really close game. I think I took them with the points. But
I thought they were getting boat raced by
Baltimore. I didn't give them a chance to win that game. I took them in the points because it was a huge spread. It was like 10 points, and they were going to keep the game close. But I was 0-2 in picking those games.
Yep.
I'll be 0-3 if they beat the Chiefs. So at some point, you just kind of tip your cap and you say, wow, good for these guys. First time in a long time, I felt like there's no matchup that I'll hate. I think Titans-Packers will be a more boring product than will Chiefs-49ers. Titans-Packers in and of itself because it's different. Nobody saw it coming. We get a Super Bowl finally that is fresh. And for that, I'm excited no matter what happens.
Yeah, I think we're in a good place. I mean, each individual story, again, just sort of putting aside the screaming noise of the run-the-ball people that will make my life miserable if Tennessee does get there, it is an amazing story. Again, this was a 5-5 team. It wasn't as if they ripped off nothing but wins down the stretch either. They got beat pretty handily at New Orleans, lost a close one at Houston, playing Houston at home, rather. Lost that game because Deshaun Watson made some hero plays. This group was not special at any point. They ripped off three straight wins against Jacksonville, the Colts who were falling apart, and the Raiders. What about that blows your skirt up, right? What they just, like a switch, they flipped it and turned into a juggernaut.
I would love to see Kyle Shanahan hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And just as much, I'd be thrilled for Matt LaFleur. Mm-hmm. Two guys I covered for 4 years here in Washington and have good relationships with. Grant and Danny on the Fan at 11 o'clock. I'm doing something after the show today that I am ecstatic about. Something is happening in my life tonight, Danny, that I am so pumped about and that you are going to hate. You're going to despise it even.
Oh, no.
You're going to be so annoyed by it. You'll downplay how much you hate it. But mostly you're just going to not want to talk about it and
oh,
say,
man.
I don't care. I don't care about that. I'm not mad. Something like that. That's my reaction.
So that's a good me.
Thank you.
In that situation. I don't know what this is.
You don't. I've saved this for a big reveal at 11.
You did an ambush? We did a whole show. I got a show. This is the show rundown.
Well, I mean,
it's not on here?
It's not going to be like an hour long. It's going to take 2-minute reveal, but I'm at 11 o'clock, you'll know what it is. Grant and Danny on The Fan next. The Redskins staff has been formally announced. Coordinators talked yesterday. We'll give you some thoughts on the Redskins coaching staff on G&D. Little by little, the Redskins coaching staff had been assembled over the last few weeks, and names had been trickling out in reports. Yesterday was kind of the day that the Redskins made everything official and announced formally their entire staff. They sent out a press release. 16 assistant coaches will work under head coach Ron Rivera. Of those 16 coaches, over a dozen came from Carolina a year ago. The rest of them basically are either Jack Del Rio, who's a tremendous hire and a great former head coach and defensive coordinator and player, who is now going to be their DC. His son, Luke, who is the offensive quality control coach. Luke's coach in high school, a guy named Brent Wieselmeyer, who's going to be the assistant defensive backs coach.
All right.
I think there might be like one guy completely unrelated to everything total. I don't know how Ken Zampezi fits in, who was at Florida last year.
Well, the name Zampezi rings out. I mean, his dad was, you know, the quarterback guru,
of
and
course.
I'm sure guys know each other through stuff.
Yeah, it's a completely, you know, good old boy network thing. But my point is, I don't see any ties where he was with any of the Del Rios or the Riveras. But my point in bringing this up is, this was not the widest net that was cast.
Yeah.
If you didn't work for the Panthers, or you don't know Jack Del Rio really well and haven't worked with him, you're basically not on this staff. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, and my point then was the same as it'll be now, which is this is what you get, and this is why when you hire a head coach, it is so important that you're right. Because that coach, when hired, is not just coming himself to show up alone. He is bringing with him many of the assistants that have been with him for his entire career. Now, when you hire a guy like Matt Rhule, who hasn't been in the NFL previously as a head coach, or Joe Judge, the Giants just hired,
right,
you will get assistants from all over the place because they can't pull all the assistants that they've been working with away from New England or Baylor, let's say. So what happens inevitably when you hire those guys is you do have ideas from 7-8 coaching staffs, and maybe you go hire the best available OC or a DC that just got fired somewhere. I love the fact that Ron Rivera got hired. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a win. I like even more than that. What's stronger than love? I love love. The Jack Del Rio defensive coordinating hire.
Uh-huh.
I think that is perfect. From an assistant standpoint after that, it's just a bunch of the guys that they've worked with for a long time. And it's largely the 2019 Carolina Panthers, who got beat by the Redskins and then blown out at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fair thing to ask, should they have cast a wider net, isn't it?
Of course it is. And your point is 100% correct. This is normal. And as a Redskins fan who is, you know, I'm just like everyone else listening, who has been desperate for this team to be consistently good for years, I don't want normal. I want exceptional. I'm asking, so I'm not angry today. I'm not coming and going, it's the damn Carolina Panthers staff. This is bullcrap. I'm not doing that. What I am saying is, yeah, this is normal. This is pretty standard business, standard operating procedure. They'll be fine. I want exceptional. I want to do what Sean McVay did. He never worked with Wade Phillips, but he said, I'm going with that guy. And that makes the most sense. Now, he still hired some of his buddies to do various parts of the organization. Some guys that you've worked with before inevitably will make sense on your staff because they know how you want to do things. They know how you want to implement certain things. I got no issue with that. But to me, what I'm asking for is a way to be atypical, a way to be exceptional. I'm asking for, well, this is just how it's done, instead of saying, well, is this the best way to do it? Is this really, are we pushing the envelope as far as it can be pushed here? Are we innovating? Are we doing something that nobody else is doing? Because at some point, everybody just copycats, and then you settle into an 8-8 type team, and if you get a break or two, you're 10-6, and if you don't, you're 6-8, and everyone thinks it's a disaster, or 6-10, rather. I'm looking for something that people are going to go, ooh, we need to copy that, Redskins haven't done that. They haven't innovated. They haven't done anything of the sort in a long time. So the expectations are not fair, okay? Because, again, this is – no one's running afoul. No one's doing anything nefarious. There's nothing underhanded. Nobody's ridiculous or stupid for this. What I'm saying, though, is you got a quarterback, for example, in Dwayne Haskins that had so little experience. This is the way it's done with quarterbacks. Normally, yes, but this is an exceptional case. Let's treat it as such. Let's do more. Let's be a little bit outside the box in our thinking. I wanted the same thing here. So it's hard for me to not be a little bit disappointed. Again, overall, incredibly pleased with Del Rio, incredibly pleased with Rivera. These are adults. Thank goodness they're here.
The Rivera hire was, what, a B+, A-?
Right. I mean, for me, an A,
yeah.
Honestly.
The Del Rio hire for me is an A or an A+.
Uh-huh.
Really, really like that the Redskins landed Rivera. I think I told you this already. I wrote a piece in The Athletic where I went out and asked 16 different sources. These are former coaches, current coaches, GMs, and players with at least 10 years experience in the league and agents. I did the piece with Ben Standig, who interviewed another 14 or 15 people. So combined, we had over 30 of these folks, 10-year players, high-ranking front office coaches. And we did, you've seen this done in other places where basically on a point scale, you know, rank the hires, give us your thoughts. Ron Rivera, essentially, within a couple points, was the best hire.
Uh-huh.
And people were really, by and large, surprised that the Redskins were able to get him. I think they deserve credit for that. But at the same time, while I know when you hire someone, you also hire many of their assistants from their previous staff, I am a little bit surprised with how heavily slanted toward the Panthers this was. Because there are times, especially after you get fired, when you've been in a place for 9 years, you know, you just kind of want to start over, where you go in a different direction. Now, Rivera did that a little bit on defense with Jack Del Rio.
Yes.
I think he decided over the last couple of years, I don't like calling my own plays and having to do that and coach and handle timeouts and handle clock management and handle challenges. I need someone who can do a little bit more of the defense.
Who knows what I want.
A little bit more of an overseer.
Mm-hmm.
Love Jack Del Rio's style. Let's see if we could work together.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have, I'll use the phrase again, cast a wider net, though. Should they have interviewed some of the other available people who are really qualified, who have had success in other places that were looking for jobs?
Yeah, there's some hot shots that were, you know, that are going to get turned over on staffs. Remember, at one point, Chris Richard was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Just sort of floating around. And I'm sure he's been picked up by now, but you see my point. Like, there are other candidates out there that could have made for exceptional hires.
And here's where I think this becomes a fair question and probably the question that we can ask and should ask today. If this hire was, I'm just going to pick, you know what I'll say? I'll say if they hired Joe Judge out of the blue, okay, the Redskins did, who the Giants just brought in, the special teams and wide receivers coach from New England. And let's say he brought in a staff where he had 9 assistants come over from the Patriots. Unrealistic, but let's just say.
God, I'm with you.
I think people would say, well, he's hiring all the Patriots people. They're the best in football.
Yeah, 13 wins awesome. A year, sure.
The fact that it's Carolina, they didn't win a Super Bowl under Ron Rivera. Now, I'm a pro-Rivera guy, but just playing a little devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
They had 3 winning seasons since he got there in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
3 winning seasons. Over the last 2 years, they went 12-20, that staff. Now, he got fired and wasn't there for the whole time. But that's Redskins-ish under Jay Gruden.
Right.
And you're just kind of getting all those guys back together to come here. Seems like an upgrade. You're certainly going to be more professional and qualified in the coaching staff than at times in the past, you have to imagine. Are you guys at all surprised, though, with how little, quote-unquote, searching it seemed like there was for assistance and how easy all the dots are connected at every position? You just throw in that name in a Wikipedia, 2019 Panthers, 2019 Panthers, last name Del Rio. You know, Coach Del Rio in high school, you can kind of go down the line. I get that this is how it works. I really do. But occasionally when a guy gets hired, it's a little bit more diverse than this in terms of where the hirings come from. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Should the Redskins have cast today slightly wider net? Are you fine with getting the Panthers band together? This is the Fan. Redskins assistants announced yesterday. Coordinators spoke to the media. We'll give you our takeaways from Scott Turner on offense, Jack Del Rio on defense in the 12 o'clock hour. G&D welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. 15 minutes from now, Danny, you will know what the big announcement is.
There's a surprise.
We don't know if Danny's going to be very happy or very mad.
It's weird because it's the spotlight is my reaction more so than the news itself.
Well, because the news is stunning and also, like, you're either going to be happy for me or furious at me.
Furious at you?
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
We'll tell you about it at 11 o'clock. 13 minutes out at this point. Okay, so 16 assistants announced. Vast majority of them worked with the Panthers last year under Ron Rivera. If not of the best of the rest, so to speak, there's like five or six others. I think two of them are Del Rio's. Another one coached young Del Rio in high school. There are very few outsiders brought in on this staff. And the question we're asking you is, does that give you any pause? Should there have been a wider net cast? Should other diverse options from other organizations, sets of eyes, so to speak, been brought in here? My brother, who's a chef, just hit me up, and he said, look, as an executive chef, when you get hired, you're going to bring in a sous chef that you really liked and people in your kitchen that you know can make the sauce that you want, which I get. This works in every facet of life. If I get hired somewhere and they're saying, hey, here's the show that we're building for you, what do you want to do? I'm going, okay, I really like this TV producer I worked with or this radio producer. Bring this guy in. You know who's great and young and up and coming and hungry? This guy. Bring him in. I really like Danny Ruye. I've done a lot with him. We got a good chemistry, good rapport. This is how the world works. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Of course. That's why I'm not mad.
I'm not either. But here's what I am hopping to next. You did not hire someone from the Patriots or the Steelers or the Packers. You did not hire someone with recent Super Bowl success where they won a championship. Now, you did hire a team that made one remarkable 15-1 season playoff run into a Super Bowl, which they lost. So I guess if they had won that title, maybe this conversation would be different. I don't know. But the results were mixed largely over the years. Nobody's saying that anybody should be worried, nervous, disappointed. I guess we're just asking the question, is it worth kind of stopping and going, we're acting like the Panthers last year, who were one of the three teams the Redskins beat, by the way, were the model franchise. If you're building your whole thing after what they had that David Tepper looked at and said, no thanks, I think it's fair to just sit here and go, we're getting better, but is this what they should have strived to?
My response I'd have to your brother is the same response I'd have in this case. This is normal. I'm asking for not normal. I'm asking for something exceptional. So I realize that bar is too high and it's not fair, which is why I can't be angry or annoyed or kill a team for doing this. This is standard procedure. What I'm saying is standard procedure gets a lot of losers in the NFL. Standard procedure has a lot of teams that are fighting for the same 8-8, maybe I make the playoffs once every 3 years type apple if I'm healthy in December. And I don't want that. I want exceptional. Do something exceptional. Did you interview anybody? Or did you just call them and say, pick them up? A car is going to come to the airport for you. You were my defensive backs coach here. You'll be my defensive backs coach there. Did you beat the bushes for the five best guys? I understand you want your kitchen to work.
Keep the kitchen analogy going, maybe the most important thing initially is we always hear this buzzword culture. So what does that mean, right? Maybe you said, you know what? I got to overhaul everything. Their practices don't work. The way that they get the food out, all of these things don't work. We need new equipment. And the people that have a similar work ethic to you, a similar paradigm to you, that think about food and all these things the same way, you need them to establish the culture that you want because you know they share your vision. So maybe that's the first step. And as you go, maybe you tweak. I understand that too. I'm just saying that I would have liked to have been interviewing all the best names. I would have liked to have talked to these guys who have been fired. You mentioned Chris Richard and others who are really, really well-liked, who are also available. And maybe they blow you away and you go, yes, Scott Turner, who's called plays for four games or whatever it is, I know him. I worked with his dad. He worked on my staff for years. He's grown up with me. But maybe he's not as good an offensive coordinator right now as, I don't know, maybe Pat Shurmur, who was just the head coach of the Giants whatever.
You can run, and I'm going to keep the restaurant analogy. You could run a perfectly good restaurant. Nobody's saying it's going to be bad. I want to be the best restaurant. I want to be the world's greatest. I want the Michelin guy to write about me. I want Tom Sietsma to roll in there once a week because he can't get enough. I want to be perfect. Only one team gets to be amazing at the end of every year. We forget about these 15-1, these 14-2, 13-3 teams that get cast by the wayside. I want to eat from that table. You realize that Tennessee is trying to become just the third 6 seed since they've had six seeds to make it to the Super Bowl? There have been three of those. Typically what happens, it's one and two seeds. It's bye weeks. It's home field advantage. It's super great teams. The Redskins haven't sniffed that. And doing a normal thing makes you more likely to be normal. I don't want normal. I want exceptional. Try something. Be bold. Try something different in that regard. This to me, is comfortable.
I'll take comfortable over they were getting written up for health violations.
Of course.
Shutting down
this
every
couple of weeks.
This is better
than Ratatouille 2, which is what they were doing.
Kenny in Mechanicsville. What's up?
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, I like this hire of keeping the kind of the Carolina group together. It brings continuity and accountability to a team that's lacked it for a very, very long time.
But, buddy, I want your response. Can't you do that with Rivera, who's the head guy? You get your accountability from him. Can't you do that with an all-star cast of free agent coaches? Couldn't you do the same thing or no?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think you have too many egos walking into a room. This way you have everybody working together that's already worked together and knows how Ron Rivera thinks. And then you bring in a Jack Del Rio, who is exceptional as a defensive coordinator. And then you've got Scott Turner, who's excited to work with Dwayne Haskins, as that report was yesterday.
Kenny,
never
does it
heard
worry
Kevin O'Connell
you that
say
they were
that.
12-20 the last 2 years, though? Because I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. But I wouldn't be asking the question if they were in the NFC Championship game and in the playoffs twice over the last couple of years. They were 12-20. They were one of the three teams the Redskins beat, and then Rivera got fired. That doesn't give you any pause?
Not when your number one quarterback goes down for 2 years and you're trying to limp by with a hot Kyle Allen, who I don't see a great amount of potential in anyway. I see them drafting a quarterback in 2 years.
They should draft a quarterback this year, and I think that's why they were bad this season. But Cam Newton played 14 games last year. So you say, 2 years. He was on the field for them last season. Let's go to Jacob in Spotsylvania. How are you?
Good. What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I think it's pretty good. The way I see it, I'm not too concerned about him bringing a bunch of guys from Carolina because I see it as Bruce Allen is gone. And so that's the main thing. And maybe the front office situation in Carolina is pretty toxic over there. So Rivera has a genuine hope for optimism coming here to Washington and is kind of bringing his guys in. So I think there's hope for optimism that way. To me, the biggest thing is Bruce Allen is gone. And I think people worry about Rivera bringing all his guys from Carolina and look at their record and everything and forget that major thing that Bruce Allen is actually finally gone. So
I haven't forgotten it.
Right. That's the takeaway. That's the headline it should be for a while.
I think people think about that every day. Tony's in Long Island on G&D. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey,
good.
Bro.
All right, so I'm going to ask you guys a question, and then I'd like to make a point off it. Out of the list that you see with all the assistant head coaches, is there anyone on that list that you think Dan Snyder can go to either circumvent or undermine Ron Rivera in the foreseeable future?
No, I would say not.
Because of their loyalty lies with Rivera? That's the point? Yeah.
Guys, I think Ron Rivera has come into this organization with his eyes wide open. This man has done his homework. He knows he's built a wall of insulation around him. Now, yeah, I agree. These guys might not be the best, but these are his boys. These are his guys. He trusts them. He believes in them, and they believe in him. And I'll go with this, guys. We don't have much, we don't have much to lose. So I'll go with this.
Appreciate you. No, I think that's a smart point as well. And again, I would like to reiterate as we kind of wrap up the conversation. Rivera hire endorsed by both of us.
100%.
And the staff itself I like because they kept the special teams coach who was here last year and Randy Jordan. Those are the two guys that are still on staff from last year. So there are two in the building who remain. Everyone else will be new, the vast majority of them just coming up 95 from Charlotte with Rivera. Grant and Danny at 11:30. We're joined by John Clayton. Can't wait for that conversation about the AFC and NFC championship game. Next, the news all breaks to Danny. We have no clue how he's going to react.
Bombshell.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.